Siblingism has proliferated in the movies lately, among actors certainly, the Quaids, the Baldwins, the Estevez Sheens, and so on and on. And a half a dozen brother teams are now directing feature films. I was curious about how the movies have explored the subject of sibling relationships and recently had a chance to talk about this with Leah Rosen, who's the chief film critic for People magazine. I asked her why so many popular movies were about brothers and sisters.
The audience has an easy time relating. Most of us, except maybe this newest generation, have siblings, have had siblings, and have siblings, and it's a continuing source of both comfort and aggravation. So I think it's fertile ground for films to plow. One, the audience can relate. Two, there's so many ways you can take the relationship. They can be friendly, they can be hostile, they can be supportive, they can be areas of huge dissent.
Do you have a favorite movie about siblings?
Well, I think there are two kinds of sibling films. There's sibling films about when you're still kids and it's the big family group in which you tend to have idyllic films like Cheaper by the Dozen, that sort of thing. And then the more interesting ones are really when you're an adult. How do you relate to your siblings as an adult? How much of the relationship is based on what you were doing as 5 and 6-year-olds? And how much is this new grown-up relationship? I love Big Night, which was a fairly recent film about two brothers who run a restaurant.
Primo, please, just come on.
I want to know for whom.
Just make me the side order spaghetti, please.
Secondo, I want to know for who is it for?
For the lady with the risotto.
What?
Why?
She likes starch. I don't know. Come on. I make it myself.
Who are these people in America? I need to talk to her.
That's Tony Shalhoub playing the older brother, Primo, who is the artist of the two of them. The second brother, Stanley Tucci, playing Secundo, is, of course, the hard-headed one. So what you have is, I think, what you get the dynamics in any family, that the varying personalities, and I think early on, kids are assigned. You know, you're the pragmatic one. You're the creative one. And the question is, do those roles continue into adulthood, or do you get to change them?
I think my favorite movie of the last year was all about a sibling relationship, You Can Count on Me.
This was a fabulous film. This was a little independent film that could, that critics were just sort of so thrilled to finally see a movie about something. And it's a grown-up brother and sister where the brother is sort of a screw-up. He's one of these guys who's just never found a place for himself in life, and he sort of drifts back into his sister's life.
So how are you?
I'm fine, Terry.
So, how's Rudy?
We're fine, Terry. How are you?
Yeah.
Where have you been lately, Terry?
No, I haven't been.
I got a postcard from you from Alaska.
Yeah, I was out there for a little while.
That was in the fall, Terry.
Yeah, no, I've been out of touch.
I was a little worried.
I found that, just hearing that scene, having seen the movie not so long ago, moving all over again, and I was reminded of the incredible subtlety of all of the shades of love and resentment and fear and all of the rest that movie so wonderfully depicts, that is so rare in film. I mean, not that brother character could have been a cartoon, and he wasn't.
I think, you know, the key to families, which this film understands, the people you love the most are also the people who drive you crazy, who drive you nuts. And it's that constant push-pull to these relationships. It's giving yourself the distance that you need and yet knowing that no matter what, as my mother always says to me about my brothers and sisters in my own life, they're always going to be your brother and sister, whether you like it or not.
Now, a much uglier, darker depiction of sibling relationships was Lillian Hellman's Little Foxes, the film from 1941.
This would be the family from hell.
Truly. It's set in, I guess, the late 19th century or early 20th in the South.
Basically, turn of the century South. This is the post-Reconstruction South. It's the Hubbard family, dominated by Regina, who was, of course, the great stage role of Tulu Bankhead. And then in the movies, Betty Davis made it her own. And they're fighting over money.
I've asked before, where's this extra share coming from?
From you, from your share.
Oh, so that's my reward, is it? For 30 years, I worked my hands to the bone for you. Done all the things you didn't want to do, and this is what I get.
My, I'm being attacked on all sides tonight. I can't believe the Lord means for the strong to parade their strength.
but I don't mind doing it if it's got to be done.
Oscar, you'll be a very rich man. It doesn't matter if a little more goes here, a little less goes there. It's all in the family.
That's right. I'll never marry, so my money will go to Alexander and Leo.
Now, this was a fairly over-the-top portrayal of a kind of ugly and to my mind, sick set of sibling relationships. And I think, actually, presumably at the time, people, viewers related to this movie because, and especially at that time, so many siblings ended up being in business with each other because they sort of inherited these family businesses and family relationships. And Lord knows that must be a situation in so many cases of in real life fraught with anxiety.
I think they say sort of the biggest adult fights between siblings are often over estates. And, you know, often the less there is, the greater the fights. So money is not only the root of evil, but the root of sibling dissent.
And if Little Foxes isn't dark and ugly enough, there's also the strange and wonderful David Cronenberg film, Dead Ringers.
Yes. Now, Dead Ringers is not only siblings, but you have the second problem here of twins, the peculiar kinship of twins. This is a story based on a real life story to some extent about, I think they were the Marcus brothers, two doctors who were fertility experts.
Gynecologists running a fertility clinic.
Yeah, had this incredibly close relationship and ended up sort of descending into drug addiction and madness and dying. And it was all very bizarre. And Cronenberg made a fabulously funny, sick film about the whole thing with Jeremy Irons playing both roles.
So, Ellie, the clinic's booked to the hilt. We've got to pay the rent, you know.
I'll take your patients.
Oh, yes.
I want you to go. Bev, you've got to try the movie star. She's unbelievable. Don't worry, you'll be all right. Just do me.
Now, I don't know about you, Leah, but growing up, I loved the twin identity switching plot, whether it was in the Patty Duke show on television or Parent Trap with Haley Mills in film. This is a pretty extreme take on that premise.
Well, sort of what's fun about it is when you're in the child, exactly what you said, the childhood ones tend to be these great innocent larks. It's all in fun. Once you get to adulthood, when twins start pulling these kinds of tricks, there's an ugly edge to it. Betty Davis has as a dead ringer, I believe. There's sort of when this thing happens, one of these twins is bound to be evil, if not both. And they're pulling sort of nasty tricks on people when they start switching.
I wonder if in this age of divorce, of jobs that are not kept for long, of kind of fleeting tactical alliances in so much of life, if the sibling relationship, which for better and for worse is a permanent situation, is attractive to us as a kind of source of permanence.
Yes. These are films about relationships that go on and on. Your brother or your sister, once your parents die or become infirm, they're the only ones who remember how cute you were when you were four or whatever. They're, no matter what, they have to talk to you, even if it's to tell you not to call them again for another 3 months. So I think the fascination to sibling relationships is they will always be there.
Thanks, Leah, for joining us in Studio 360.
Happy to.
Leah Rosen is the chief movie critic for People magazine, as well as a contributor to ABC's World News Now.